But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, so today we're going to continue our series on the nine gifts of the Spirit. And what I want to talk about today is a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And I feel like I have to do both of these together only because they tend to work together when these gifts are in operation. Rarely are you going to see one without the other, you know? So I felt like I needed to teach them simultaneously so that you can see how they work together. I'm not sure how much I'm going to get done this video, so it might be a part one and part two with these two. That's it. Okay, let me pray to get us started here. Lord, I just thank you for a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, and for all the things that you're teaching us through this series. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would pour upon us in fullness to understand these gifts and how they work. And for those that are listening that already have this gift, that you would show them clearly what it looks like in their lives and how you've called them to use it in this season. Lord, we're so grateful to you that you've graciously given this to us for the building up of the church, the perfecting of the saints. And I thank you, Lord, for using us in this, that we get to partner with you, that we get to allow you to work through us to do the work of the kingdom. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's get started here. Now, this is going to be based on, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. That is where it is referenced here. So let me just go ahead and say exactly what the scripture says here about this. So it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, the Spirit gives to one the gift of the word of wisdom, and to another, the same Spirit gives the gift of the word of revelation knowledge. So the first thing I want you to see is that it says it's a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. It is not all wisdom of God, neither is it all the knowledge of God. It is literally like something being deposited on you in a moment that has wisdom to do with that issue you're facing or dealing with, or the advice you need to give, or knowledge to do with that. It's not that you know everything, or you know you're not a know-it-all, or you have wisdom in every single area and arena. No. I also want to say that when these gifts show up, I can at least tell you for me, it's not like you feel anything. You're just going about doing the work of the Lord, and it gets activated in a moment, and you're using it in a moment, and you might not even realize you're using this gift, which is why we have to do this discipleship, so that you understand when it shows up what it is. Because I think many people are using this and they don't even realize that's what this gift is. When you're using discerning of spirits, I should have said this last week, but when you're using discerning of spirits, it's typically going to show up through your spiritual senses. Okay, so vision, that's sight, hearing in the spirit. You can actually smell spirits in the spirit, Don't know if you know that, but an unclean spirit does have a smell. For me, it smells like dirty, wet laundry. It stinks, for real. That is how I pick it up. And there are some people who can actually smell the aroma of Jesus, okay? Death has a smell. So the thing is that when you're discerning spirits, your spiritual senses are in play. You even have taste. I mean, I have before experienced the wine of the Holy Spirit in, you know, that what they talk about drunkenness in the spirit. I'm going to put the scripture on the screen here for you, to the point where I can actually taste alcohol in my mouth. And no, I was not drinking. I just, my sense of taste became very heightened in that moment, and I could taste in the spirit. Okay, so discerning of spirits uses your spiritual senses, your five spiritual senses, even touch, to discern what is happening in the spirit. When you're using word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, it tends not to have any kind of a physical symptom that says it's in play, which is why it might be hard for us to even detect that we have this gift. How we know is by the things that we say, or when the wisdom goes forward, the fruit of the wisdom, okay? Because wisdom bears fruit. It has children. When the wisdom is coming from God, the results of the wisdom will say it comes from Him. So with the wisdom, how you know is after the fact, when you have applied it, that's how you know this came from the Lord. Okay, so just wanted to say that. Now let's talk about, it says the Spirit gives a word of wisdom. Wisdom, this is Strong's Concordance 4678. The word is Sophia. You know, we use this as a little girl's name, beautiful name. Sophia, it's wisdom, insight, skill, whether human or divine, intelligence or cleverness, or being cunning. If you think, the scripture says, you know, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. So there is a bit of cleverness that comes with wisdom sometimes. Okay, the word Sophia is the art of using wisdom, the affection for wisdom. And it's coming from the Greek word sophos, which means to be wise, to be wise. Okay, so the Hebrew word for this wisdom is Strong's 2451. This term is used extensively in the Old Testament, particularly in the wisdom literature such as Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. It denotes skill in living, moral insight, and the fear of the Lord as the foundation of true wisdom. It's interesting that you cannot have true wisdom from God unless it first gets rooted and grounded in the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is also used for a skill in living. This is incredible, because that means that some people could just be living for living's sake, and there's skill required to live. I thought that was fascinating. Okay, moral insight. Okay, so now wisdom can show up in by human wisdom. This is just learning things through life, and divine wisdom, which is wisdom that is coming from God. And the scripture actually tells us in James chapter 3 verse 17 that the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, it is considerate, it is submissive, it is full of mercy and good fruit, it is impartial, and it is sincere. I think if we use all of these terms to judge what happens with the wisdom or the advice that someone gives us, we will really be able to see if what they said was from God or not. You know, you ask yourself the question, is it pure? Is it peace-loving? Is it considerate, submissive? Is it full of mercy? Is there good fruit coming from this advice? Is it impartial or is it sincere, right? Because wisdom, really, the reason why this works with knowledge, it's practical application. I can give you all the ingredients to bake a cake. You can know what the ingredients are, but it's the wisdom that knows what portions of that cake that the butter has to be mixed with the sugar first, and then you add in the eggs, and the dry ingredients have to be mixed separately before combining everything. So you can have the knowledge of the ingredients and still not know how to put something together. You know, wisdom is the practical application of the knowledge that you have. And so by applying the wisdom to the knowledge, the fruit that comes from that is what tells you if this was indeed from God or not, right? That's how else are you going to know? And your spirit also is going to discern, does this have mercy? Is this submissive? Is it peace-loving? You know, you judge what it is based on what you're told to do. Okay, so let's see here. Now let's quickly look at, actually I want to add this as well. In James 1, chapter 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, that's just general wisdom. But this gift of a word of wisdom is something that comes on you in a moment and an instant to know what to do in a situation or how to execute a plan. And generally, it's something that you would have no way of knowing that if the Lord didn't tell you, right? And I'm going to give you some examples in the scriptures here so that you can clearly see it. I actually have three examples for you today of an application of wisdom based on knowledge. Okay, so let's look at Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to take verse 16 through 20. And so this is Jesus saying to the disciples, look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Again, this is using the word shrewd. Think of it as clever, think of it as cunning, as a snake. That's the application of wisdom, but as harmless as a dove. This is a gentleness that comes with the wisdom, that peace-loving spirit that is coming with the wisdom that you're receiving, right? He says, but beware, you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking, it will be the spirit of your Father speaking through you. So the knowledge, the word of knowledge that he was imparting to them is that you need to be wise as a snake and harmless as a dove. You are going to be arrested and you're going to be brought before the authorities. That's some knowledge that he's imparting on them, word of knowledge, before they even go into that situation. The wisdom now is what they do when they get in that situation. Okay, so he's telling them, let me explain to you why this is gonna happen to you. There would actually be no other way for you to get before these authorities, the one I'm sending you to, or that group of unbelievers, if you didn't get arrested. And the reason why I'm putting you in this position is so that you will tell them about me. It's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? It is to tell them that Jesus is Lord, that he is God, that he carries the message of salvation, that eternal life comes through him. So he's telling them, he gives them a word of knowledge, what's gonna happen to them, and then he gives them the wisdom as, let me tell you why, and this is how it needs to be done, okay? Wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. This is the two things working together. Next one. I'll just reference the scripture here because it's a long read. Genesis chapter 30, starting at verse 25 and then reading through to 31:55. That whole section is quite fascinating. It's the story of Jacob when he went to work for Laban. Now remember, he had to work to receive Rachel as his wife because he wanted Rachel, and Laban was basically going to subject him to years upon years of working and working, and he's never gonna get Rachel. So what happens here? He says to Laban, okay, let's do this. I will tend your flocks for you. I'm paraphrasing everything here. And all the good ones you can get, but any one of the sheep that is speckled or spotted, I get to keep. In other words, they're not pure and good. You get all the pure and good ones, and I get the speckled and spotted ones. Now, Laban probably knew at that moment there were not that many speckled and spotted sheep. Most of them he had, the good ones. There were just a few. So in his mind at that moment, he's thinking, oh, this guy is going to be working forever. He will never have anything. He'll never get anywhere because my sheep, they are perfect. So he agrees to this. You can keep the speckled and spotted sheep, and I will keep the pure ones. They go along, and Jacob comes up with this plan. You have to read it. To feed them in a trough with branches done in a certain way when they're mating, so that they're born speckled and spotted. And later on, he goes on to say that the way he knows to do this is through a dream. God gave him a dream with the entire strategy, the wisdom of how to make them speckled and spotted. I'm sorry, folks, but that is cunning. That's like clever as clever, okay? I mean, who would know that's how you're gonna make the sheep turn speckled and spotted? Nobody would know that. He got it in a dream and then he started doing it. And if you think about this, I looked it up, but sheep, it takes them 4.5 to 5 months before they give birth. So he had to have patience, diligence to actually follow through on that plan. That means that he would have a new flock of them twice per year maximum, okay, so that over the the 7-year period where he's working out his time, they are multiplying, and Laban cannot seem to figure out how come the sheep, they're coming out speckled and spotted, so that all of them are going to Jacob. And then Jacob started to observe the sheep and realize the ones that are weak. And the ones that were weak, he wouldn't do the whole thing with the branches and the trough to make them speckled and spotted. He would put them to the side so that all the sheep that were weak would go over to Laban, and only the ones that were speckled and spotted and strong he would get. And then in the end, he had so many of them and he became wealthy. But the point is, the whole strategy, the wisdom of how to do this came through a dream, and he followed through. That's right. And it happened as the Lord tells him, you know. And you think about this gift in getting wealth today. There are many people that can have wealth in many different ways, because God can give you a strategy to do something that no one else knows. No one would have any way of knowing that except you, and that he gave this to you in a dream, right? Okay, next one, which is the famous one we know, it's King Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 to 28. I'm not going to read it because, again, it's very long. It's the story of the two mothers. One had a baby and the baby died, and she swapped it with another baby who was living. So they both went before Solomon. You probably know this story already. And Solomon said, okay, I'll go ahead and split the baby in half and give you both half of the baby. To which the real mother said, no, let her keep the child. So, to come up with a solution like this, the wisdom, the word of wisdom, to do this in order to discover who the true mother was, because a true mother wouldn't let that happen to their child. That in itself, the cleverness of that whole experience, right? And he was like, you know, get me the sword, let me cut the baby in half. He was never going to do that. He just knew that this is what he needed to do. So the point is that at the end of the day, the results of the wisdom says it's from God, right? Okay. Now, let's talk about the word of knowledge. This word is gnosis. It's Strong's 1108. It says to experientially know, working knowledge gleaned from first-hand personal experience, connecting theory to application. Okay, it says a knowing, knowledge, to know and to understand. Knowledge, perception, skill. It says, let's see here. 1 Corinthians 8:1, Paul notes, now about food sacrificed to idol. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Here, Paul contrasts mere intellectual knowledge with love, emphasizing that knowledge without love can lead to pride. Wow. Profound statement, right? And it is true. If we just know and know and know and we know it all, and we're not operating in love when we use this knowledge, then it's prideful. You know, again, through working in the ministry and having to know things about people through this gifting, it's like, well, what are you going to do with what you know? You know, as that lady I told you, to use what you know about people to work against them or to get what you want, this is not good. So you can't have knowledge or even wisdom working without love. That's why it's the principal thing, is love. But it is also cautioned against when it becomes disconnected from love and humility. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 6 says, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. This progression underscores the importance of integrating knowledge with other virtues in the Christian life. So the point here is that we should never be operating in this word of knowledge or the word of wisdom without first considering love and how we are operating in love while using these gifts, and also to have humility as we're using these gifts so as not to cause hurt or injury to others. Okay, now let's look at some examples of knowledge in the Bible, the word of knowledge. Okay, we're going to read John 4, chapter 16 to 24. This is Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. Verse 16, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You are right. You don't have a husband, for you have five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." So right there, we see that that was a word of knowledge. He told her, first of all, the past. He told her the past, you've had five husbands, and then he told her the current situation, the person you're living with right now, is not your husband. That's word of knowledge. In verse 19, she says, "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me why it is that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worship." It is interesting that he was using the gift of a word of knowledge, but she called him a prophet. So now, in verse 21, we see him respond to her calling him a prophet, and he begins to prophesy. So he's moved from knowledge, word of knowledge, into the prophetic gifting now. 21. Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is a spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Thought that was interesting. He was using the word of knowledge. She called him a prophet, and then he switched into the prophetic gifting once she said that's what he was. Okay, next one. Another word of knowledge is in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. Then Peter says, "Ananias, you have let Satan fill your heart. You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wish. After selling it, the money was always also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God." So this is a word of knowledge again that was being used by Peter to know what Ananias and his wife Sapphira were doing. They were lying, and he told them, "No, this is what happened and this is what you did." So those are some biblical examples. But as you can see, the two gifts, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, are so they're very close and similar in nature, that sometimes it's kind of hard to tell which one is this, okay? So you have to look for the knowledge, but then you have to look for the wisdom, which is the application of the knowledge in what to do. All right, I want to give you a couple of my own stories of this in operation and what it looks like. Like I said, this is not something that you just know is happening when it's happening. It just happens. It comes as a natural thing. You're not going to feel goosebumps or it just feels like you're going along in your everyday life and things just, it's very clear to you. Okay. I remember one of the leaders in our church, I think he was a deacon in the church. He called me at work one day and asked me to pray for this toddler, somebody that he knows, and the child was having excruciating headaches. And so he said that they had set up an appointment with a neurologist, because I guess when they were looking around and asking around, someone thought, oh, I wonder if they have, it's something to do with the child's brain. So they were going to take the child in to this appointment. So he was asking me to pray. So I was like, okay. So I hung up the phone. I'm at my work. And I thought, before I forget, let me go ahead and pray for the child now. I didn't even get to praying. I just was like, hang up the phone, ready to pray. And immediately, I didn't pray. Immediately, it just came to me. There's no brain tumor or anything like that. The child needs to go and have his eyes checked. It's eyes, his eyes. He needs glasses. Because it's a young child, you know, like 2-3 years old, the child doesn't know to say, I can't see clearly. And that's why they were having the headaches there. So it didn't even take me 10 seconds because I didn't pray. It just immediately came to me when I tried to pray that this is what it was. So I called, redialed. It wasn't even a minute later. And I said to him, it's not a brain tumor. the child needs to be taken to have his eyes checked. And he said to me, the dad wears glasses. I said, yes, but we're talking about the child. So the child needs to have his eyes checked. And he said to me, I thought so, but I wanted to hear what you had to say about it. I was like, okay, yeah, that's it. And that was that. And it literally was over and done in a couple of minutes worth of conversation. But what was interesting is that, like, he knew, but he was afraid to say. Because remember now, we're in a very conservative church. It's like, how do you know this? You know, they want the proof, or what does the doctor say? But he knew, and he needed to say it to me to see if what I was going to confirm that he already knew. He already knew. But he kind of needed some backup. And now, you know, what happens in these situations is like, we have to be careful what we say to people, because it's like, well, how did you know this? It's like, well, I don't know. Just, you know, I was praying and it just came to me. After a while, I become very definitive in what I'm saying, and I say what I say. And I don't back up off of it, because I can tell when it's the Lord and when I'm sure of something, I'm sure of it. And I don't back up off of it or make an excuse for it, even if it makes people very uncomfortable. Because sometimes it does. You know, when you say things and it's like, whoa, okay, where did that come from? But I just say it. Another time, was a lady from church too, and this was in intercession, but I was driving to work one morning and she came on my mind. Now, we were not close. I know her from church, but I don't have her phone number. We don't really talk or go out, but I know of her, right? And I was driving to work one morning, and as I was in the, she just came to my mind. My spirit was stirred, and she came to my mind, and I immediately started to pray for her. Now, I knew that she had cancer. And as I was praying for her, it was like I could feel my bones were aching. Like it's almost like I could feel her pain in that moment. And I was just crying because it hurt. I physically hurt for her. And I was crying in the car, and it felt like she was dying almost. And I was crying and crying and just crying out to God for her. And this went on for about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And when I got finished and I pulled into the parking lot at work, of course, I'm trying to fix my face because I'm like, I can't walk into the office looking a mess with people going, what's wrong with you? It had nothing to do with me. I was just interceding for her. But when I pulled into the parking lot, I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that she was healed from that cancer. It was gone. Okay, not remission, which to me is a word from the devil, the pit of hell. Okay, no. When you say remission, it's like you're saying it's coming back. Okay, we don't use the word remission. Healed means permanently gone. It's gone. So I just knew in that moment she is healed. And there is no cancer coming back. Now, her history up until this point is that she was back and forth. She's clean, then a year would go back, and she's back in the hospital, and then she's clean again, and then she's back. She had gone back and forth about 5 or 6 times with this. But right then I knew she's done. So I called a mutual friend from church that I knew was very close to them, her and her husband, and I was like, do you have her phone number? I need to talk to her. And so she was like, I don't think you're gonna get her. I believe they're up at the cancer center right now, and she's receiving treatment right now. So then I realized, oh, that's why I was picking up on her, because she's actually there getting the radiation or whatever therapy at the moment. So she says, I can give you her husband's phone number though. I'm like, yeah, give me his number, let me call him. So I called him and I asked about her. I was like, how is she doing? And he says, oh, she's fine, she just came from out of the machine. I guess it's some machine they put them in for the radiation, the treatment. I don't know how it works, I've never seen it before. But apparently she was actually in it when I was interceding for her. As she was in it, the Lord was like, come, you're praying for her now. And she got healed. Yes. So right when I called him, she had just come out of it. So I was like, okay. So I said to him, and she's okay? And he goes, yes. And I said, yeah, well, I just finished praying for her, and that cancer is not coming back. Now, understand, for somebody who has gone back and forth for all these years, that sounds crazy. Okay? Especially from a church where they don't believe like this. Okay? So it was like, oh, okay, thank you. And that was that. And I remember seeing her in church after, like a week after they came back, and I walked up to her and I said to her, I'm gonna say something to you now, and I know by saying this to you, you're not gonna understand, but I'm gonna tell you. When you were in that chamber or whatever they put you in, the Lord called me to intercede for you at that very moment when you were in there. And I'm telling you right now, the cancer is never coming back. You have been healed. Jesus healed you permanently.
it's never coming back. Okay? And I said, and I know right now, you're probably doubting this, but I'm going to tell you this. I would never say this if I didn't know this. You are healed. It's not ever coming back. So she was like, thank you for that. But you could tell she's still not connecting. I didn't care because I know what I know. And it's never come back. It's gone. But again, that was a word of knowledge right then. I knew. So yes, he used medicine to do what he was doing. But in that process, for that final time, she was being prayed for as she was going through that. And that took it completely. And it was gone. And it never came back. And she has never had to go back. Praise the Lord. So this is how it comes. And then there's a surety of it, right? Okay, so last story. At church, we have these prayer cards that people would fill in, prayer requests. Sometimes they would leave their name. Sometimes they wouldn't put their names on it. So we don't know who wrote the card. It's just asking for prayer. So I was in charge of the ministry. And one of my friends, her English isn't that great, she had a stack of those cards to pray over. So as she was reading through one of them, there was a word that was used and she didn't know what it means. And so she was calling me for me to explain to her what that one word meant on the card. So she calls me up. I'm driving in my car again. Again, this is not like some special moment that you have to be in to get this. God, when the Lord turns the gift on, it's on. You don't know when it's turned on or when it's turned off, or it gets activated in a moment, right? So I'm driving the car and she calls me and she says, there's this word, I don't understand what it means. And she spells the word to me and I was like, yes, this is what it means. And then I said to her, she's holding the cards in her hand on the phone as she's talking to me, not just the one, the whole stack. So I said to her, that's okay, I will pray over this one. So she was like, okay. So we're on the phone and I start to pray for the one card. And I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and it goes on. Because I'm just praying what's coming to me and I'm just praying and praying and praying and I'm driving down the highway praying on the phone with her over the one card, I think. And this goes on, and I don't know how long. I felt like I just transitioned into something else and transitioned into something else and something else and something else, and we get done. So this is going on. So obviously I was on the phone with her for good 15, 20, 25 minutes, half an hour, I don't know. I get done and I'm done. Jesus' name, amen. And I stop. And she was like, oh my gosh, mamma mia, oh no. I was like, what? And she goes, you prayed for all of the cards in my hand. I was like, what? She goes, you prayed for every single card that was in my hand. All of the things you said after the first one was all the other prayer requests that were on these cards in my hand. Did I see those cards? No. There was no vision. There was no poof. Okay, I'm going to pray for the ones in your hand now. I didn't know. I was just praying. And as I continued to pray, that it was coming out of my mouth. Because like I said, this is the Holy Spirit when He starts to work. It's not something you can turn off or turn on. I just let it flow. And I just go with whatever the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind. I am praying. And that was a word of knowledge. Now, I'm pretty sure with some of those, I'm praying for what they're asking for, but then the word of wisdom is coming too. Because solution to those prayers come through wisdom, which I will then pray over those people. And that's how they will get their prayers answered, right? So just wanted to share that with you, that when this is in operation, you probably won't know until afterwards if you're speaking directly with someone that that's what just happened. Anyway, that's it. I hope I share these stories, please know, so that you can relate to it, because you had a similar situation happen to you. And like I said, when I was given these gifts, I didn't have anyone to tell me what that was. It took me years to find out pieces of it, right? And all of the gifts don't come at one time. They don't. They get activated at different times. I don't think I spoke in tongues for what? 12 to 13 years after I was saved? But I had the other gifts of the Spirit. This is why I tell people, tongues is not a sign that you're saved. You can flow in the other gifts, and that one could be last. Okay? Or you may get that one first and the rest comes after. It just happens at different points in your life. The key is that you're using your gifts. And as you use your gifts, God will sharpen them, make them better. All right? And you have to have interaction with people. You have to be out there using them so that you get better. And the more you use it, it's the parable of the talents, is the more you get. This is how it works. It's not something that we just have and we save, because your gifts are for others. So you have to be serving somewhere. You have to be using your gifts somewhere. That's how you get better at it, okay? So I am going to encourage you. If any of this sounds like something that you have and you're not using, get plugged in to some kind of ministry where you're using it, where you are honing that ability that God has given you, the gift, and you're using it, right? So when I start doing the Zoom calls for the intercession, I'll go more into this and give those of you who want an opportunity to use the gift to use it. Okay, so that's it. All right, next week I will continue with this, the other gifts of the Spirit. And I really hope this has been helpful to you, okay? Lord, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the gifts of the Spirit. I pray by your grace, you're going to pour out on those listening to this teaching even more than they have before, and that you're going to show them how they can use their giftings for your glory in whatever situations they're in, where they are, whoever they meet along the way, and that they won't be afraid to use what you've given them, God. We love you. And we choose to honor you by being your hands and your feet here in the earth, which is exactly why you gave us these gifts, Lord. I just thank you that love will be the guiding principle that we will use to use all of your gifts, and humility. May we never become prideful in that which you've freely given us, so that we can glorify and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. That's it, and I will see you soon. Have an amazing week. Bye.